Monster Man, special episode, Ghosts. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Today's episode is a special episode, brought to you by the generosity of my Patreon supporters, and in particular, the generosity of Patreon supporter Andrew Reichert. Andrew has asked me to talk about ghosts in today's special. If you'd like to be like Andrew and get your very own episode, all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level. And in addition to an episode of your very own, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is currently finishing up a season about Native American mythology, and also the other bonus content that I put up from time to time. Now, I have covered ghosts on Monster Man before, and not just in the regular episode. Ghosts appear in the first Monster Manual, and I covered them way back in like November or December of 2017. But you can go back and just search for Ghost in the archives and you'll find them. I also discussed them in a My Favorite Monster special, one of those episodes where I interview game creators, and I talked about ghosts in an interview with game writer Hannah Powell Smith. So you can go back and check that one out as well. That's also in December 2017. And one of the things that we discovered was that the creature called a ghost in the Monster Manual is very unusual. It actually has surprisingly little to do with the ghost of ghost belief and folklore. It's specifically the spirit of an evil person, and it doesn't really do, you know, it's not like trying to tell you who murdered it so that it can rest or anything like that, which is sort of what you would normally associate with a ghost. It can frighten people, I think that's kind of its main ghostly thing, but it's not really all that ghostly. And later books would go on to add different groups of undead monsters or apparitions or whatever that would round out a little bit more the ghost of folklore and the ghost of the ghost story. For the purposes of this episode, I want to specify that we're talking about ghosts, the concept, ghosts, the folkloric creature, and not ghosts, the specific monster from the Monster Manual. Because I think if you do that, they're far from as interesting as the ghost that people have for millennia told stories about. And although there's a wide range of different beliefs about ghosts, they tend to have a few things in common. You know, ghosts are said to be the spirits of dead people. Others would say that they are like impressions left by dead people, a bit like footprints. They're not themselves intelligent beings. They're just kind of echoes. And they're often associated with people who died in some unusual way, who died tragically, so who were murdered or who died in some kind of an accident. Or alternatively, they appear to people who had some kind of connection to that individual in life. So, for instance, the ghost of your late grandmother appears to warn you not to take that passage on the Titanic or whatever. Because ghosts are ultimately rooted in people, you know, they are monsters that were once people, and because they connect to the idea of memory, they're a very useful part of creating a fantasy role-playing game scenario, and yet, in principle, they shouldn't really work. And I think that the ghost is a great example of one of those monsters, a bit like the vampire, that shouldn't really work, but actually does in Dungeons & Dragons. What do I mean by that? Well, if we're talking about literary genres, then ultimately the ghost, you know, we would associate that with kind of gothic horror, right? Ghosts are particularly a feature of, you know, gothic novels, and their unnaturalness or impossibility is part of that aesthetic. For example, the beginning of Hamlet has the ghost of Hamlet's father, also called Hamlet, appear to tell his tale to his son. And he starts off with a bunch of, you know, mysterious stuff about, you know, how he is forbid to tell the secrets of his prison house, but if he weren't, he could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, and so on. But there is not, I don't think, a sense that Hamlet is a supernatural story, right? It is not about the ghost in a way that, say, A Midsummer Night's Dream is about the fairies, or The Tempest is about the magic. You know, although it contains a supernatural element, it's a bit more like Cymbeline, where Jupiter appears, but like it might have been a dream. Well, it was definitely a dream, but it might have been a magical dream. So there is a supernatural monster that is typically or at least often, inserted into a naturalistic story. And the violation of the normal rules of kind of time and memory that a ghost represents, you know, that's part of the, not the horror of it necessarily, but its sense of uncanniness. And that should not work in a fantasy role-playing game, because if you're playing more or less conventional D&D, then you are playing in a world where magic and things that we in our world would consider magical are relatively commonplace, right? Oh, here's a ghost. Oh, I saw a ghost. Well, that's not really that big a deal. Like, this guy's an elf. That guy's a wizard. We fought a bunch of zombies. And yet the aesthetic principles that we apply to Dungeons & Dragons come from the genres that we are mashing together to create the game. They don't proceed from the assumptions internal to the game. So the fact that the characters live in a world where ghosts shouldn't be spooky is not important, because you're not trying to spook the characters, you're trying to spook the players. And the players, I'm not saying that they are afraid of ghosts, but they recognize the genre conventions of the ghost story. In fact, this is subverted in some D&D scenarios, right? Like the Sinister Secret of Saltmarsh sets up the look and feel of a ghost story, of a haunted house, knowing that the players will assume that that's what they're dealing with, and that that would actually be a logical thing for the characters to assume, but in fact it's a Scooby-Doo situation. Quite interesting, and quite an early subversion of those genre norms, too. Anyway, so a bit like Strahd, who shouldn't be any different from any other magical supervillain, shouldn't be different from a mind flayer or something like that, it works because the ghost brings with it all of the trappings of the gothic. So I think that ghosts in D&D represent and symbolize a number of different things. Or, well, I'd say in D&D, but of course this is what we're talking about, ghosts representing ghost stories in general. Ambrose Bierce called ghosts the outward and visible sign of an inward fear. You know, he was kind of playing on religious language, but I think it's not a bad definition. The ghosts represent things that we are afraid of, even if we are not necessarily afraid of ghosts. And ghosts are in that kind of Poe zone where we, and kind of a Lovecraft zone as well, actually, even though Lovecraft himself did not write a lot of ghost stories, but where we are straddling the genre line between horror and mystery. So first off, ghosts represent the unknown and the unnatural. That's the version that works least, right? You are never going to have a moment where the mere introduction of a ghost is enough by itself. Not because they live in a fantastic universe, but because that's not how ghost stories work. Characters are not going to be, like, shocked by the revelation of a ghost. They're not going to be startled. They might be startled. They're going to be intrigued. So ghosts make great scenario beginnings, and they're rather boring antagonists generally. The question that people always ask of ghosts is, what do you want? They represent death, of course, the fear of death, the idea that there is something unnatural about the loss of this person, whether that's an early loss or whether just because it was a person who was so close to you that your life feels incomplete without them, or whether there was something unnatural in the manner of their death. We accept an image of peaceful death, the good death, right? Such a feature of kind of late medieval and post-medieval art, this idea of teaching people how to die well. And the ghost kicks back against the idea of the good death. There's a horrid but wonderful Seamus Heaney poem. It's about skeletons rather than ghosts, but there's a bit where and it's about these anatomical plates of skeletons as workers digging. And I'm doing this from memory, so I might be wrong, but he says, "Even death lies, the void deceives. We do not fall like autumn leaves to sleep in peace. Some traitor breath revives our clay, sends us abroad. And by the sweat of our stripped brows, we earn our deaths." Like, the idea that even death is not the end is horrifying and can be used to good effect in a game where, you know, characters do face death regularly and may have beliefs about what that really means. Ghosts are also symbols of memory, right? A ghost is, in essence, a part of the past that has been moved into the present. And that's probably what ties it so closely to the mystery idea, because a lot of the time, the ghost is remembering something that others have chosen to forget or have concealed. This ties in a little bit if you go back and listen to the special episode about the Uncaged anthology. A lot of the time, monsters like the Rizalka are used to similar purposes, right? That they are the avengers, not just of like particular crimes, but of crimes that society as a whole has sort of chosen not to acknowledge. Now, specifically in the case of the Rusalka, violence against women, particularly kind of intimate partner violence, right? The idea that this is a crime that society has chosen to overlook, and thus it may be that society as a whole needs to be punished. To ignore this crime is a crime in itself. Now, the ghost is a more generic one, right? It's often a very individual notice of a crime. And I think this is maybe the most common image of the ghost in Dungeons & Dragons is the ghost as clue giver. The ghost is the sign that something is wrong. They say that on moonless nights, the ghost of a murdered young woman appears at the crossroads. Well, that raises the question, who murdered her? Who was she? You know, the ghost asks us questions that we would like to find out. So we're going out there with divination spells and shovels and the cadaver-sniffing dog, and my gum, we're going to get to the bottom of this mystery. And then when we do, that young lady can be, you know, buried and sleep peacefully in the knowledge that her killer has been brought to justice. Or they might simply serve as indicators that you're going into a bad place. I said that ghosts are as much mystery as horror, but I guess the other genre that they're part of is tragedy. You know, the other emotion that ghosts are associated with is grief, and that's not something that you see very often in fantasy role-playing games. You know, for things that concern themselves with issues of violence and death, grief doesn't come up very much, maybe because characters are often highly mobile. You know, the picaresque adventure structure tends to work against the idea of people who spend a lot of time thinking about the consequences of violence. And also, you know, and this is a perfectly legitimate criticism, that's kind of a bummer. A lot of people don't play fantasy games in order to experience things that are a big downer, and I, for one, don't blame them. But when Andrew asked about ghosts, he actually sent me a link to a scenario called The Haunted Cloister, a Paths Peculiar module. You can find it on wisted.net, and I'll put a link to it up in the show notes. And I think it's a really interesting example of how ghosts are used to create atmosphere in a dungeon. Well, not really a dungeon, but it's just a location scenario. It's not even that much of a scenario. It's really just a location. And here, the ghosts are the ghosts of monks who were killed a long time ago and who still haunt the monastery where they once lived. And they're not really quite a lot of them. They're just sort of apparitions. They're not really like monsters you fight. They just appear. They whisper sinisterly. You know, one of them bustles around tending the beehives he tended in life, but kind of ineffectually. In general, they are symbols that something is wrong here, right? They're symptoms of the problem in the scenario, which is that the well in the monastery has been cursed, and you need to purify it. You need to purify it while dealing with this curse that is affecting you. And so the ghosts initially might be might be seen as the threat, but they're not. They're other victims of the curse, just like you. So people will say, oh, we stay away from the monastery because that place is haunted. But in fact, the ghosts are not the problem. The ghosts were created by the problem, which is the curse. So in a way, it's less helpful to think about ghosts as monsters and more to think about them as NPCs, as it were, or, you know, people that the players will interact with, albeit in a particularly limited fashion, or as kind of features of the landscape. So as I approach the ruined temple and I see in front of it the ghosts of all the adventurers who have tried to retrieve the blue jewel and died, that's just a spooky way of telling me that stuff is about to get real. But it's much harder to make a D&D scenario out of a conventional ghost story. And that is because, for the most part, conventional ghost stories are either personal or they're intellectual. Yeah. So the intellectual ghost story, for instance, you know, your standout would be like an M.R. James story. So in an M.R. James story, a ghost is often associated with some kind of like historical mystery or historical curiosity. This is the thing about ghosts as, you know, aspects of a vengeful past, or maybe not even vengeful, but just like a dangerous past. And that's fine, except it doesn't really adapt very well to the party adventure structure of a fantasy RPG. So if you're playing D&D, chances are that, you know, there's going to be at least one or two people who get very frustrated with all this historical research and want to bust some heads, and then you need to add a secondary complication, you know, someone else who wants to investigate the historical mystery and use it for their own sinister purposes, and then the ghost kind of becomes window dressing on your conflict with them. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The other use, and another emotion that I should have mentioned ghosts being associated with, is of course not just grief, but guilt. The idea that if you are being haunted by somebody, it may be because you had a part to play in their death. A lot of psychological ghost stories are a bit like this. I feel like there was a vogue for that in like the late 90s, early 2000s in films. There was that one with Harrison Ford, and he's like haunted by his dead wife or something. I don't really remember. And there were quite a lot of sort of Victorian ghost stories, they're a bit like that, right? Where it's someone's sin essentially manifesting in the form of a ghost that pursues them. But that's fine, but again, the thing about plots that are personal is that ultimately they tend to be individual. You know, somebody might have done somebody wrong and produced a ghost, but it's hard to imagine, you know, all five members of the party. I mean, yeah, they can conceivably all have murdered the same person, but then when that happens, the ghost tagging along and kind of giving them a hard time about it almost feels to me a bit like the DM imposing a moral judgment on the play of the game, which, even if the DM is in like a position to do that, is almost never actually any fun. And the final version is the kind of like cozy ghost. You can have those too, like, oh yeah, we have a quirky tavern that we hang out in, and it's got a ghost, but you know, it's kind of like a Harry Potter ghost, right? They're just sort of people who live there and who are a bit weird. Bit like in the, I've only ever read one Dresden Files book, but doesn't he have like a wisecracking ghost sidekick? I'm not really a big fan of that like cozy fantasy view of D&D, you know, every tavern's got 80 million different like fairies in it and the head of a white dragon. To me, that always kind of communicates like the exotic and fun things you're doing are not that big a deal. You know, they kind of everydayify the character's adventures, which I think is not something that I'm that interested in, but, you know, that's just my taste. Just not what I'm into. At the present, anyway. I've learned to stop making definitive statements about what I like, because it does change quite a lot. Anyway, so I think that what this reveals to us is that the ghost is a monster that we need to think about quite differently from any other kind of monster, and for that matter, from any other kind of NPC. You know, when you have a monster, you're thinking about it, when you have a monster in a game, you're thinking about it partly in terms of what it can tell you about the world, partly in terms of its kind of like aesthetics and how cool it is, and partly in terms of the challenges that it poses for the player characters, whether they're going to avoid it, fight it, negotiate it, you know, throw it like a lamb full of drugs and watch it go to sleep. You know, whatever it is that they're going to do, they're going to apply their skill and intellect to it to try and, like, defeat it. But the ghost has quite a narrow range of possibilities in that respect, right? It's not usually something that you fight. It's a signal that there is an underlying problem somewhere else. It's not the moon, it's the finger that points at the moon. So the ghost is almost wholly a question of aesthetics. You know, it's not even like when you have another NPC that the player characters can talk to and form a relationship with and be friends with or ask questions and answers. Like, you don't want your ghost to be mundane in that way. You want them to be, you know, mysterious and gnomic. It's not like the player characters are going to hang out and be friends with them. For effects that you could use when introducing a ghost in a game, I think the easiest thing to do is just, you know, read a bunch of M.R. James stories and swipe that, or read a bunch of, like, allegedly true ghost stories. When I was a kid, I read that, like, Usborne Book of Ghosts. I think that has just been re-released, if I recall correctly. There's a new edition of it out now, and it gave me the whim-whams. Like, I did not like it one bit, and I was always terrified by the weirdest things when I was a kid. And some of those, like, ghost books for kids, I don't know why, my school library had a ton of books about cryptids and a ton of books about guns. Kind of an odd library. But anyway, in those cryptid books and those ghost books, there were these really, like, eerie, haunting images. And I think that if you can deploy even one of those effectively, I think you're on the right track. Like, ghosts are all about presentation. And, you know, only kind of secondarily about interacting with them, because for the most part, they're not very interactable. But I almost feel like, essentially, the ghost is a thing that tells you about a scenario and establishes what the theme and mood of that scenario are going to be. You know we're going to be digging into the past. We know we're probably looking at some ancient murders. We know this is going to be a horror or tragedy kind of mystery scenario. We're not going to, like, lay this ghost to rest by going and kicking a bunch of bugbears in the face. Getting killed when you're young by a bunch of bugbears is bad, but it's not an unnatural death. It's a very normal consequence of dealing with bugbears. The only thing that sort of saddens me about talking about the ghost like this is I feel like I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Like, I feel like these are the pretty obvious things to do with ghosts. So, here are a bunch of weird alternative uses for ghosts in your fantasy games. Ghost variation number one. You know how hags can, like, steal souls for energy? What if ghosts count? They could raid haunted houses and steal the ghosts to make into magic items. Ghost variation number two. What if ghosts aren't visible to everyone, but you have to have some kind of death connection? So, like, clerics of the death god can see them, but maybe also characters who have died and were resurrected or revivified, right? Because you have been dead, now you can see ghosts. And that's a pretty common trait among Dungeons & Dragons characters. Three. A ghost is haunting an area or person because of the injustice of being killed, but was actually, in life, a wrong'un who needed killing. It's just that their sense of outrage is motivating them to remain behind on the prime material plane, or I guess the ethereal plane. Ghost variation number four. Every time you kill someone, you become haunted by all the ghosts that were haunting them. Ghost variation number five. A cult has the means to kill people and control their ghosts, which they use to find out their secrets. So if they want to know something from you, they don't bother trying to interrogate you, they just kill you and command your ghost to tell them. They can also use this as a source of ethereal spies. The ghosts long for release. Ghost variation number six. Ghosts are building up in an area not because there are an unusual number of deaths, but because something has happened to the psychopomp who is supposed to conduct them to the underworld, or the afterlife, take your pick. So those are some ghost variations, just to kind of, like, maybe add a little variety to an episode in which I hope I wasn't too much stating the obvious. But to summarize, the choice of including ghosts is largely an aesthetic one, and that requires you to think about them a little bit differently from other monsters. If you roll some bugbears on a wandering monster table, you can have a fun old bugbear fight. It's easy to improvise a bugbear's personality. He's kind of a bully. You can't really do that in the same way with ghosts, because ghosts are very specific creatures. Not the ones in the Monster Manual, but the ones in ghost stories, right? There's never just, like, some ghost. They're always a specific ghost, and that means that they tend to reward planning and thinking about their role in, I hate to say it, the story. So, Andrew, I hope that you enjoyed your special episode about ghosts, and thank you once again for your support of the show. Everyone else, if you'd like to be like Andrew, just remember that all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level, or there are other levels you can pledge at. I'm not the boss of you. In our next episode, we will be beginning our journey through the V chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.